Survived the Loftus in Seward, Alaska. I'm interviewing Sylvia Sexton, who was born February 5, 1885, in Topeka, Kansas. Miss Sexton came to Alaska in 1898 from Manhattan, Kansas.
What do you want me?
Well, Miss Sexton, I know you came here before there was a town of Seward, and can you start back as far as you want? And you also mentioned something about the first experimental farm, was it, in Alaska? And you tell us just what you want to in your own words.
Well, we left Manhattan, Kansas, and went to Portland, Oregon. And my brother and I stayed in Portland for until June, until school was out. My mother and father left on the old Oregon from Portland, and they crossed the bar and went to Skagway, and they started a lodging house. And then for a while, he worked on the White Pass, and we were there during the years of Soapy Smith. And one night he came in to get a gun.
My dad did.
For they were out trying to get the men and round them up. And he guarded jail, was one of the men that helped guard jail for two or three nights. Well, we were in Skagway until the fall of 99. My mother and brother and I went out to Seattle so that we could go to school. In 1903, we left Seattle and went to Sunrise on the Bertha to Seldovia. From Seldovia, we took the little old Titanic up to Sunrise. They could go in there then on high tide, but they can't get in now. But they had to go in and out on high tide. Let's see. Well, while we were in Seattle going to school, my father was in Valdez, and he was up there. He was on the railroad for a while with Lewis and the surveyors. Then Judge Wickersham appointed my father as deputy marshal at Sunrise, and H.A. Childress was the commissioner. And my first job in Alaska was doing recording in the commissioner's office. During that winter, oh dear, that winter when any court trials were on, why, they had to go by dog team. In the meantime, they had started the town of Seward. And they had to drive by dog team from Sunrise to Seward, take the boat to Valdez to court. The court was in Valdez. And my brother would come over with them sometimes and then take the dogs back. One of the trips, they were a whole week getting from Seward to Sunrise, and they started out with three dog teams. When they arrived in Sunrise, they had one sled and the dogs, a turkey they had bought in Valdez, and a roast of pork. It was on Thanksgiving Day. And my mother cooked dinner, and we had most of the town of Sunrise in for dinner that night. And we had the only turkey, and I guess probably the only meat in Sunrise. Well, let's see. In 1902, the Blaine men came in and located the town site of Seward. And the railroad was promoted to go in to the Matanuska country to bring out the coal. And then in 1903, the first party landed on the beach August the 28th, 1903. And then they really started the town of Seward. And in 1904, in May, was when we landed in Seward on the 13th of May. and then I worked in the post office. I was the first clerk in the Seward post office. And let's see, what else will I tell you now? I don't know what to tell
you. You were going to tell me about the first court session in Valdez that you remember.
Oh, I don't remember the first court session, but I remember they had to go to Valdez to court.
To court. Uh-huh.
Yes, I told you that.
Yeah.
During that winter. Then in the spring, when they moved the... we came to Seward in the spring because they moved the office, the marshal's office and the commissioner's office from Sunrise to Seward in 1903 in the spring because they had to come over here so much at the time. And that was, there weren't very many people left over in Sunrise except the ones who were mining up the, between Seward and Sunrise and over at Crow Creek. They used to cross the arm and go to Crow Creek. And let's see, what else? I don't know what to tell you. They were surveying the coast and around, and we used to have lots of dances. The town would give the boys a dance, and then they'd give the town a dance, and we had lots of fun. And when President Harding was here, when the boat was due, they had all the men on the boat knew what number of car they were supposed to get into. And in my car, I happened to have Dr. Sawyer, the president's doctor, and so they were all taken out the highway for a drive. After that, we were in the hotel at that time, and President Harding would come up every day and buy ice cream cones for two little bears that we had. And Dr. Sawyer would come up pretty near every day and ask for his chauffeur to take him out to the dairy to get fresh milk for Mrs. Harding.
Uh-huh.
So I became quite a well acquainted with Dr. Sawyer, and we had quite a joke about me being his chauffeur. The Alaska Central was started to go into the coal fields at Matanuska. Then they ran out of money, I guess, and afterwards, a number of years, it was quite a number of years, the Alaska Northern took over, and they ran it for a while. And then it was stopped for a number of years until the government started in with the Alaska Railroad. And it's been the Alaska Railroad ever since.
Miss Sexton, tell us a little bit about your own history, how the things you did as a young girl in Alaska, and your impressions of the country.
Well, we enjoyed ourselves. We didn't have cars. We didn't have show houses. And we had to make our own good times. We had card parties. We had dances. We went fishing. We climbed the mountains. And I really think that we enjoyed ourselves as much then as anybody does these days. It was hard trips. We would go to Russian River fishing. We would go out to Mile 18 on the railroad. And from there, we would go down 28 miles on Kenai Lake on a boat. And from there, we put a little pack on our back, and we walked 8 miles down to Russian River. Sometimes we were down in a swamp across Corduroy and then up on the bank, where now today they go on a paved highway and cross over on a ferry. We walked down, waded the river, put up our tents, slept out on the ground. And then at one time they had a cabin down there, and we stayed in this cabin, and we would fish and hike. And then we'd pack our fish back 8 miles and come back up the road, up the lake. And one time We had been down the lake for a while, and we had our little boat out on the lake, and we got up to the railroad track, and we didn't know when the trains would come and go, so we sat down along the track, and finally my brother decided he wanted some hot biscuits. So we had a little Yukon stove with us, and one of the ladies, Miss Mathis, said, "I'll make you some biscuits." So we sat up the Yukon stove, and we had hot biscuits, sat along the track, and finally the train came, and we came on into town. And Dr. Georgeson was at Manhattan, Kansas, in charge of the experimental part of the college at that time. And he was let out on account of politics, and this was in 98. And we thought that he had gone to Europe. And when we went to Skagway, my father had a lodging house. He went down to the boat the first time to meet the boat. And who walked off the boat but Dr. Georgeson? He was on his way to Sitka to start the experimental stations in Alaska. And he wanted my father to clear some ground, and so we had really the first vegetables that were grown for him in Alaska at Skagway. I have a picture somewhere of it. Anyhow, that was the starting of his experimental stations in Alaska. And Mr. Snodgrass, who is now up in the Matanuska Valley, was going to college at the time that my father was at Manhattan and Dr. Georgeson was there. And one reason that quite a few of the men who had been in charge of experimental stations in Alaska was the fact that Dr. Georgeson was from Manhattan, and quite a few of the men have been from Manhattan, Kansas.
Well, that is interesting. You do have some pictures of that early...
I just have just a few little vegetables, you know, that were laid out on the porch somewhere. I don't remember. It wasn't much of it, but anyhow, we raised some vegetables that summer in Skagway.
You were going to tell a little bit about more about your life in Skagway.
Well, when they had the strike in Atland, we sat and watched the people all day long with their packs on their back going into the strike. And then in about a week later, why, a lot of them started coming back again. It was quite exciting.
How many men do you think went on that strike?
Well, I don't know, but I think the town was almost deserted for a day or so.
Uh-huh. You remember when Soapy Smith was shot? Was that you were living in Skagway?
Yeah, that was the time that I said my father came in for the gun.
Uh-huh.
And we were there. Afterwards, his wife and son came to Skagway, and he had told her to never believe that he was dead until she was absolutely sure of it. So they came up there to be sure that he had been killed. And I don't remember just how long they were there. But 17, I decided to open up a store in the hotel building. Before that, I had done developing and printing. The way I got started with my printing, Reverend L.H. Peterson was a minister here, and he had been doing the work for the stores. So he asked me to take over his work. At Christmas time, my father bought me a Kodak, and I started taking pictures. And I sold postcards and in the lobby of the hotel for a while, and then when the floating cart would go to the Westford, I used to give one of the gentlemen money to buy me curios, and I sold those in the hotel lobby. Then in 17, we decided to start this store, and Mr. Thwaites, who had been on the Dora, a mail clerk on the Dora for a number of years until the Westford, he and his wife went in with me, and they were with me for a year. Then he went to Ketchikan, and I bought him out. I ran the store from 1917 until 35. We had a fire, and it burned the hotel and the store. I then moved across the street and started in the Johansson building, and that was in 35. And I ran the store there until 1951, when I sold out to Mrs. O'Brien.
Now, the name of your store, Miss Sexton,
was Sylvia's.
Sylvia's.
And after we had the fire in 35, before I got started across the street, Mr. Swetman allowed me to go down, and we fixed up a dark room around his furnace. And I did some developing and printing then to keep up the work for him and myself until I got into the Johansson building to start the store.
This is the second side of the tape of Hazel, of Sylvia Sexton.
Well, when we had the fire in 35, I lost everything I had. One of my friends used to say, "Why don't you move over in the Legion building?" And I said, "Well, what'll I move? I don't even have a lead pencil to move." I lost all my films in the fire of the early days, and I had a lot that belonged to other people from the early days. And I had them all in a box hooked on the wall, but we couldn't get into the building to get them out.
Oh.
And so then when I had the store across the street, I did framing, which I had done before, and we sold curios and had an ice cream fountain and sold books and toys and just the little general store of different things, but our main thing was the framing and the photo business.
Mm-hmm.
So.
When in your memories of early day Seward, were there many children in town in Fairbanks? I know we had so few children in the interior.
Well, I don't remember. Do you remember, Hazel?
There was a small school, about a dozen,
in Ethelport and Tarpon. Yeah. Oh, the school before that, the first school we had was Miss Kurtz that taught, and this was
Harry
it. Tillett? No, this was before Harry Tillett. Miss Kurtz taught a school in the old building that was back of the third trading, a big log cabin, and she was the first teacher, I think. I'm not positive about that, but I think she was the first one. And then Harry Tillett came after that, but I don't know if there was anybody in between or not. But Harry Tillett wasn't the first one. Miss Kurtz was the first one. There were quite a few children, but I don't know just how many. But they only had one room, just one teacher, and just a small school.
Do you know why the bay is called Resurrection Bay?
Well, because when they discovered the bay, they got in here on Easter Sunday, as I understood it, and so they called it Resurrection Bay. And Turnigan Arm, of course, was called Turnigan Arm because Cook got up there and then he had to turn around and go out again, so they called it Turnigan Arm.
Well, I've always thought that that bay is simply beautiful, and no better name could be had for it than Resurrection Bay.
Yeah.
How about the mountains surrounding Seward? Do they have any historical significance?
Well, this is called Fourth of July Creek across here. I don't know why they called it Fourth of July Creek, but I guess it was on account of the picnic. And the first picnic that we had on the 4th of July was out here at what we used to call the Ice House Lake, where the transfer used to put up ice. And we used to go out there and sweep it off and get ready to skate, and then they'd come out and cut it all up for us. Mount Alice over here was named for Mrs. Scheffler. She was Alice.
Mount Alice was named for you.
Yeah, Mrs. Chef.
Alice Lowell.
Alice Lowell.
And there's Mount Even, Mount Ellis. Well, nobody ever talks about Mount Even, but they all know Mount Ellis. It's a prettier mountain.
But Mrs. Simons used to say that should have been Mount Eva. She says that we got to call it Mount Ellis, and it should have been Mount Eva.
That actually there was a mix-up in names.
But anyhow, it's called Mount Ellis.